Let's read from the book of St. Mark. The Lord gave me this, and why? I don't know. It has to do with what I read the other day. I don't know why that he brought me back to this, but I want to read to you. In the 12th verse of the book of Mark is, "And he began to speak unto them by parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine there, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the produce of the vineyard. And they called him and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, They will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and care for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teacheth the way of God of truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it. He said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die, and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother would take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise, and the seventh had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, wherefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall be, she be of them? For the seventh had her the wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is here, O Israel, The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor, as he said, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. sacrifices. And when Jesus saw the ants in the sprinkling, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that there asked him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself called him Lord, and which is he? Then his son. And the common people heard him bless. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware the scribes which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the utmost room at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and void pretense, make long prayer, these shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and the hill, how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain fool of widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a fall. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow have cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they have cast in of their abundance, but she of her want, he cast in all that she had, even all her riches. You can be seated. Now I want to talk with you just a minute or two. This morning I felt impressed to pick up something as I started by I love you. I felt that. That's all I feel. I started by and I passed by and I picked up something. And what it is, it's a Roman soldier out here on the outside of a little cover taking the silver for the trail here. Now, I don't plan nothing. I come, I don't have no scripture to read, I don't have nothing to plan, whatever it is, whenever I get the pulpit, that's where I'm reading, that's where I minister from. Now, the title of this is the Passover Plot. I didn't know where nothing was located because I wasn't looking for anything. But it says here, the leaders plot against Jesus. It says here, the stone which the builders rejected become the head of thorns. I noticed when I come back from Mexico that this had to do with a certain thing. We'd have a dream about something. The night of Brother Ernie and she were related. And when I come back, I pick this up. And what it says here, it shows the stone being rolled away, and it says he is risen. Now, with this, I picked up this morning. As I went by, I picked this up. We said, continue for the faith that was once delivered under the saints. The Bible says, the faith of Jesus Christ by which you are sanctified. Now, I noticed that the things that I read this morning, it's where the Lord has let out a vineyard. And in this vineyard, he had placed men that were to render unto him the necessary fruit from the vineyard. Then the Bible said at a certain time he got ready to receive the fruit. And the Bible tells us that God patiently waits for the fruits of the earth. He patiently waits, long suffering. He patiently waits. For he planted a vineyard out of a vine called the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, God, the Spirit, is the inner part of it, like we speak of the trees of God being full of sap. God is the life. The Holy Ghost is the life of that. God being the owner of it, he's the husbandman. And we are the branches that have run off from this vine. And this is God's vineyard in the earth. You ever heard the old saying that went through the grapevine? And did you notice that in the book of Revelation, when it speaks of the book, speaks of the harvest of the earth, It says that the angel came out and he sat down on the cloud, and here he had a sickle in his hand, and the Lord said, cast in the sickle, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And the Bible says when he cast it in, he reaped a vineyard. Now we say grapes, like grapes, because men is a composition of blood. You crush him and the blood runs out, just like we say the blood of the grape. And we speak of the blood of the grape making wine, because we mix a little something with that blood of the grape, and we get a real stimulation out of it, and it's turned into what we call wine. We raise it a little bit on this. So then we get what we refer to as wine, because we have I mix something with it. God refers to our life down here, which is in the blood, and that the blood is the life of all flesh. God mixes his spirit with us, or with that human life. He mixes God's life, and then when he does, it causes a stimulation on the inside that is created by the revealed word of God. It causes a stimulation. A stimulation, like an automobile, when gas is mixed with fire, it causes a combustion. And then an electrical charge of friction and fire and explosion and energy takes over and sets the vehicle in motion. And so then when these things come down from God, it comes down and then we begin to move around. The Bible says you can't put new wine into old bottles. If you do, it'll swell out and it'll bust the bottle. Because new wine has got energy in it. Got power in it. And it's got to be a person that is not still starchy, intellectual, formal, or whatnot. It's got to be somebody that is not indoctrinated with any certain thing that will let themselves go regardless to what extent they might have to go to change their convictions, to change their outlook, that the stimulation of a new mind might cause the body to increase and take on the form that it's supposed to take on, whatever it might be, is a stimulation of revelation from God as it brings us to the fullness of the stature and the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then we are considered God's bodies. Now there has been wine that has been brought forth in the years gone by. At the time that that wine was brought forth, that wine that they brought was a wine, we call it old wine, but at the time it was brought forth, it wasn't old wine, it was new wine. And it was brought forth for the same purpose that this is brought forth for. But the thing is that God only requires out of an individual what he knows. Now, that's why that God lets the generation die. God lets the generation die. He has to do that. Because you can't put new wine into old bottles. If you do, you'll break the bottle. The bottle will break, and what wine you got in there will perish. So in that you cannot put new wine into old bottles, what you got to do is let that die out. Let that go out. Let that generation die out. Give them a move of God. Give them a stimulation. Raise them up and let them stretch out. With whatever move it might be, whatever day it might be, let the thing stretch out and let the body stretch to the conformity of whatever the message is, or whatever the propulsion of the revealed knowledge of God is in that day, according to its inner type, which is the type and shadow around us. So see, after that move is over, God has to let that generation die out. Because bottles in the Old Testament are referred to as skins. And the Bible says that when man transgressed in the garden, that God put him on skins. And it's referred to as skins. And so then, when God gives the move, the skin is hard, it's new. It's been, the life has been taken away from something. And they take a new skin, they stitched it up, and they've got it all ready to pour the wine into. And it's flexible, it's full of life, and it stretches out to the place that it ought to stretch out to. But after the wine has stayed there a while, then the casing on the outside becomes hard, it becomes to where it would crack if there's any movement around the inside, or if it's tearing the bottle, you can bust it. How many ever pick up a little dry skin and just see it break all to pieces? A lot of people get in this kind of condition. They don't go
say, Brother Pike, do you actually believe that those people that died back there is going to make the rapture? And we say, well, why do you teach us that this generation has to go on into the revelation of Jesus Christ, and then those people can make the rapture? Because God requires whatever He gives to a person. Whatever He has given to you, He will require. The Bible said, to whom much is required or given, He will require the more. God will require at the day of the resurrection, at the judgment, just exactly what He has placed within those bottles. That's all that He'll require. He won't ask a bit more. He doesn't expect out of a little child any more than He's placed in the little child. Because in this life, you've got a 30-fold measure of life. You've got a 60-fold measure of life. And you've got a 100-fold measure of life. And that little child in there with a 30-fold measure of life, God doesn't expect the responsibility to be upon His shoulder as He does the men with the 60 or the 100-fold part of life. If I took a little child with a 30-fold part of life, I wouldn't expect him to do like a teenager. But if I took somebody with a 60-fold, I would expect him to do like somebody that would be a grown up. But whatever God has committed unto you or unto someone, He will require in the day of the judgment. Now, if God has required of those generations whatever He has given to them. So I can say that when a man's mind's made up, that you cannot change it. That's why the bottle will break. Just like Brother Branham's followers. Brother Branham's followers was given a great move of God, given a great revelation. But did you notice that when I read the scripture here, Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Now, not just not knowing the scriptures, those people know the scripture, but they've got to know the power of God. They've got to know the stimulation of the word, the quickening of it. They took one side of it and went off that way with it, and God cut it off. It's the same way with the Jews. The Jews were intellectually learned. Why did God do it? Because you can't put new wine into old bottles. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, we're convinced that since Brother Brown came, there is nothing else new. That's because you are an old bottle. You'll always be convinced that because you are an old bottle. But since when God ever get to the place to where God is not brand new? Why did God say that my mercy is new every day? If there wasn't anything new but His mercy, then we'd have something new every day. Why did God say that I will do a new thing? When Brother William Brown came on the scene, God said, I'll do a new thing. Through Brother Brown, He done a new thing. When Paul came on the scene, though the Jews had understood one way, God said, Paul, I'll do a new thing, and He done a new thing. And now that Brother Brown is gone, Paul's gone, and the other men of old are gone, God still says, I will do a new thing. God's brand new. Heaven is brand new. And God today is doing a new thing, my brother and sister. He's moving right on, and He wants to use you because you are a new body. And He wants to do the new things through you because you're brand new, and He's got something brand new for us. So then, God, making these bottles, He did not reject the day of Wesley, nor did He reject the day of Luther. He did not reject the day of Elijah because it was the move of God. And God, who is loving, and God, who is kind, God is full of compassion, God who understands, He works with you and works with me, and He tells us that He wants to do a new thing, and He's got to have some new bottles. And so then, what can we do? I can't fight with those people. I'm not going to fight with those people. But I'm not going to be foolish enough to continue on and not raise my voice in protest against the things that they say when they say that God won't do a new thing. Now, it's my job, isn't it? I am sent for the defense of the gospel. I believe that God is doing a new thing. I believe that God, Brother Kenny, needs a new generation. He needs another man who will stand in the gap. He's looking for a man. Somebody said to Brother Pike, could it be me? It certainly could be you because you're the one. I don't know anybody else He could use. You're this generation. You're the people. He's got to use you. We say, but this generation is a sinful generation, an accursed generation, a generation of lust. I know that too. But in the midst of all of that, he said that when the vineyard was ready to yield the fruit, that he sent his own son down into the vineyard. There is a membership of God somewhere today, a membership of God, the very body of God himself, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is sent into this world to receive the fruit and the manifestation of the sons of God, in that they are to rise up and take the kingdom and bring it back to its original position that it was in before the God ever was. Before the world ever was, when the God was there, and God refers to Adam as the Son of God. There has to be a move of God. There has to be something in the earth. If there is no move of God in the earth, then you'd be better off dead. If God is withdrawing, and I believe that God is withdrawing from the Gentiles, I believe that the vision that I saw last night, having to do with Noah, we spoke of it from time to time with this man, Noah, head over here on the mountain, dealing with Mr. Ruach, which means the iron, and the era that we're in, and the vision, or rather the picture of it, that was taken of the thing that happened out here in the heavens where it broke open into the beautiful rainbow there. We've got it on film, where they took a picture of it, where it come out here in the front. All these things, whether spiritual, whether natural, God is the Spirit, and God gives his natural types, shadows, and those kind of things to convey to you and I the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is the Spirit, but God talks through symbols and types by the old Indian sign language to let us know what's going on. It's God's way. That's why God has given a natural world. That's why it was necessary for a natural world to be here. God would never have put a natural world here if it hadn't been needful. God would never have let Adam fall from the garden and subjected him to the things of this world if it had not been needful. God would never have put a world here if it had not been needful that you and I go through the natural perspectives of life, that he might develop a mind that was in a time that he might, through that means, reveal himself to us. That's what it's for. That's why that God used Paul so mighty. Paul was a great man. Paul had a great understanding. Paul sat at the feet of the man. Paul knew the Amorites. He knew the law of Moses. He knew about the covenant with the fathers. He knew about the tabernacle. And all of that was symbols and types and shadows. And Paul was loyal to it. He was faithful to what he understood. But that came a time when God needed a man. And God did not take some man that had been fighting with everybody else and finally fought with everybody else, or some lazy person sitting on the bench somewhere that wouldn't work. But God went out and got men like Peter and James and John out there that was casting their nets into the waters and was busy for the sake of Christ or for the sake of the natural. And he knew that they would be busy for the sake of Christ if they were converted over into the spiritual things. He that is unfaithful on the righteous or unrighteous man, who shall commit to his trust the true riches? A man converted over will be the same. He will be the same. If he's lazy out there, he'll be lazy over here. And he converts over to religion. Somebody said, Brother Clark, you mean to tell me that a man can convert over yonder from the world and come over here and convert over and be a Christian and be lazy? No, no, that's just your intellectual reasoning that you don't understand or try to understand spiritual things. The man can't convert from the world and convert over to a Christian and be lazy. But he can convert from the world and convert over to religion and be lazy. A real true Christian is not lazy because he's got the nature of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that we are in the hour when God is sending his son back in the world. They've killed the prophets. They've stoned the prophets. Everybody that Christ ever sent to them, the wise men, they've killed them. Why? Because Satan, with his intellectual PhDs and so forth, with the woke up tree of knowledge, has tried to take the world. And those people have tried to take the world away from the sons of God. They tried to take the world and set up their own system and their frolics and all of the things of life. But God isn't going to let them have it. They have taken the kingdom of God by force. And the kingdom of God has suffered violence at the hand of the intellectual scholars. But God said, though they wear the saints of God out, I will do a new thing, God said. I'll bring forth something in the midst of them when the saints of God are worn out, and they shall rise, and they shall take the kingdom, and they shall possess it forever and forever. The thing God has sent wise people. God has sent a prophet. God has sent all kind of people. But my brother, today God is sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to bring the vineyard back to Him. He's sending the very membership of His own body into the earth that they might go and tell those that have the vineyard that God is requiring of them the fruits of their labors, and that it must be brought to them. But all around the world, it's echoing, like it did in the days of Moses, when they said, this Moses, kill this Moses. The devil said, kill this Moses. He's a predestined seed. He is a proper child. Kill this Moses. Kill this Moses. In the day of Jesus, when Herod kept saying, kill this Jesus. Kill this Jesus. Though you slaughter so many little children, it doesn't matter as long as you kill this Jesus. The government is closed in, trying to kill out the little churches. The new churches is coming up. The little things spring up. Satan's trying to kill them out. Why? Because he knows that it is preordained that the Christ child is to be born into this world. He knows that there is a Christ child on his way. And as long as he's got these cold, formalistic churches with their ritualistic practices, he's already subdued them, already made them a cage of every unclean, hateful bird, already drove out the saints of God out of it, and he's got control of them, and he doesn't want anything new coming out. But God said, I will do a new thing. Satan said, I've killed William Brown, I've killed Paul, I've killed the prophets, and now then there is no new thing in the earth. And a doctrine of devils comes forth and there's no new thing. Somebody said, Brother Pike, ain't you afraid to say that? Not in the least. I said, a doctrine of devils comes forth and there's no new thing. But God said, I will do a new thing. Amen. The devil sure enough to convince us that since Brother Branham and the others is dead, that God is dead and God couldn't do nothing. But brother, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. And the same God is doing a new thing, and he needs a body to move him. He said, and if you do what God said do, they will fall down on their face and report of the truth that God is in you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll walk you. I'll talk to you. I don't know what your measure is. I can't take it. But there's one thing about it. You won't be blotted unless you do it yourself. You're ordained with the full measure of the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the power to go on into the full stature of a hundredfold. If you're willing to lay aside the things of the world, lay aside your ideas, your dreams, your resentments, and all the things that you're doing, God gives you the opportunity to go on. You can do it if you want to. But if you drop yourself by drawing back, if you drop yourself by not doing what God tells you to do, then God can't help you. I can't help you, and nobody's to blame but you. God needs a body. God's bringing up a move. There is something in the world today. There is something in the world today. God, you say, but Brother Pine, don't you believe that Christ is withdrawing from the Gentiles? I surely believe. I believe it with all my heart. When we said that Billy Graham would go out, and immediately he went off the scene, it proved that it was happening just exactly like God had shown in the revelation of the Lord Jesus. That's a big mouthful to take and speak to a man that's been all over the world and stirred the world and dropped multitudes and come in with the president and just pop up like a piece of popcorn and say his ministry's over, and you shortly he'll go off the scene. And then immediately he goes off to sleep. It has to be God for those things to take place. It has to be God. Now God is doing a new thing. God is leading the Gentiles. I believe the church ages are over, potentially speaking. I believe that over the shades of evening are closing out. The Billy Graham's gone. The lights are gone. The church ages are gone. And God is dealing with the church. I believe God has turned back to the Jew to let us know he's dealing with the church, which is the spiritual Jew. God is dealing with the church. And something great is taking place. I know that God is withdrawing from the Gentiles. But that doesn't mean that God is withdrawing from the church. God said, I shall never leave thee. I shall never forsake thee. Lord, I shall be with thee. Even until the end of the world. When the angel of God came to thee in Hohenhauer, Florida, not just the angel, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, being the same yesterday, today, and forever, when he walked into my room and slipped a ring on my finger, he said, I shall never leave thee, nor forsake thee, but all shall be with thee in the time of trouble and the time of need. Even on this trip that we just taken, I was really under some pressure, tremendous pressure. But I heard a voice, and it said, I shall never leave thee, not forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. And I said, oh God, this is the time of need. Help me, Jesus. And God confirmed my spirit and my heart that he would do what he promised me that he would do. The Lord is ready to reap the fruits of the earth. He is risen. He is risen. And Christ is ready to do something in the earth. Christ is ready to do something in the earth. And I believe that God is sending his own body, his own membership, making the word flesh, that he might translate a human body, that he might make you flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that royal blood might flow through your veins. God is making a body. You remember Brother Taylor? I made the statement. I said we'd go to Mexico to finish the book. Now, potentially speaking, the book is finished. Now, I can say this. What difference does that make? Like somebody had a vision that we wrote a book, it brought the rash. He said, well, are you intending to work on the book anymore? I certainly am. I certainly am. But the thing is I sat there in that little bitty room. As I sat there, a little place called the sheriff's office. Anyway, it had sheriff over. Here, as I sat there in that room, God began to speak to me. I began to write some things down concerning the rapture. Brother Gary, as the Holy Ghost began to talk, that same Holy Ghost that spoke to Elijah, that same Holy Ghost that spoke to Abraham, that same Holy Ghost that spoke to Joseph when he was down the pit. Somebody said, but for the pot, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. They said God spoke to them. And because God spoke to them, then they did this. But did you know that God was the Holy Ghost? In the beginning, God, the spiritual word, that was the first dimensional step of the Godhead. And then the second dimensional step was when the Holy Ghost personified himself in a body called Jesus. And the third dimensional projecting of it was when the casing was broke and the veil was rent, and the personification of God, the eternal God without form, came forth and stepped out of a human body, being now a form just like a human being, being now not a spirit but a ghost, stepping out of a body, being a ghost, because he took on a form. And when something takes on a form, it is no longer referred to as a spirit without form or measure. It is referred to as the ghost, the Holy Ghost. The Bible said Jacob yielded up the ghost. Abraham, those men, they yielded up the ghost. When Jesus hung on Calvary, he yielded up the ghost. But what kind of ghost did they yield up? They yielded up one that God had made holy. They yielded up ghosts that God had made holy, their inner man. Paul said war between the outer man and the inner ghost. The ghost war against the outer man, a continual warfare between the ghost and the outer man, but they yielded up the the Spirit. They yielded up the ghost. And Christ hung at Calvary. What did he yield up? He yielded up the ghost that had been made perfect. Though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. Unto death he humbled himself. And the Bible said, therefore, being made perfect, he became the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered. For every son that comes to God, he scourgeth him first. Take him down to the water and prove him, Gideon. When you get him down and say, be baptized in Jesus' name, you get a proof, because a lot of them will turn around. They don't do anything but go through the waterway. They want to turn around. God proved him. There he hung at Calvary. The veil was open. And when the veil was opened up, out stepped the ghost. Who? The Holy Ghost. God said, you've spoken against my son Jesus. You've spoken against God in the Old Testament. You said it was vain to serve him, and I let you go with it. You spoke against Jesus, and I let you go with it. He said, but one word spoken against this ghost, and well, please me, and I'll blot your name off of the book forever and never give you another chance again. This is the Holy Ghost. We sang the song this morning. It's dripping with blood. There's a Holy Ghost. You might not have eyes to see nor ears to hear, but he's here. And the Bible said his sheep hear his voice. That Holy Ghost is here. And the body that he stepped out of is sitting under the right hand of the Father as the blood atonement sitting on the throne of the mercy seat. One day, this Holy Ghost is going back in that body. And when he does, he'll step down off the mercy seat. It'll signify the resurrection of the dead. And he'll step down his body. Oh, he said the stone that the builders rejected. What is this? It has become the head of the corner. For this Holy Ghost is walking in our midst. This Holy Ghost is here this morning. I brought, the other day, I turned to Red Island, Texas, about Abilene, Texas. I remember the wreck that I had turned over there between Abilene and Myrtle, Texas, a long time ago. Back in Texas, something happened the other day. I went over along that Colorado City, and then I bought a Western hat, which I hardly ever. I never buy nothing as a rule. And someone got upset. Even my wife got upset at it because she didn't understand it. Because usually I don't buy this and I just go. But anyway, I got the hat. And I bought the hat. I paid $15 for it. About a $25 hat. And as long as I paid $15 for it, ordinarily I feel pricked in my heart if I pay $2 a hand for something. You know, it's pertaining to somebody. So I got the hat. I said, God, there's some reason for this. After preparation of man's heart is from God. Whether that's right or wrong, God prepared my heart to do it. That's just for those that feel that thing. You don't understand it. Anyway, I took the hat. I brought the hat back. And when I brought the hat back, God said it goes to Charlie. And I said, Charlie, try on his hat. Charlie said, mine, fits just right. And I didn't tell him I was going to get it through. I laid it back over here and I caught Charlie's spirit and saw that Charlie knew I was supposed to give him that hat. But I still didn't say that. I laid it over here. And then the brethren, different ones, tried it on, but it wouldn't fit. But when it got down to Charlie, it fit into a tee. It fit into a tee. So I took the hat. I called Brother Charlie back later when he started to leave, and I gave him the hat. And then I spoke of Elijah. I spoke of Elisha. How do you remember that vision? My father, and the horseman thereof. How do you remember the little handkerchief that he spoke of back there and there when he spoke to Brother Brown about a double portion of the Spirit of God? How do you remember that? And then, how many know that a man with something you wrap around your head? Is that right? Elisha went over Jordan and he took the veil and he brought it back to the sons of the prophets. Somebody, Joshua and some of the others, crossed over Jordan, went in there and got those grapes and brought those grapes back and said, brother, did you ever see anything like the revelation of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah! Said it's over on the other side. If you cross over Jordan, you can have it. Amen. If the waters can roll back, you can have it. You can have it. And so then, when we picked up the hat, we brought it back. We got the hat, strangely enough, right at the bus. Right at the bus was where Brother Branham had his crash, where Brother Branham had his wreck, and where the head was split open. Right there, where the hat that he wore had to come off and couldn't wear no more. right there that the man was dropped in between there and where was it? It had to do with New Mexico. It had to do with New Mexico. And there it was in between there. And then Brother Charlie, following a symbol or a pattern, following a pattern or a symbol of the church out yonder, because he does, and sit down with his brother and have him work with him, Brother Charlie, then he follows a pattern of the head of the church move, which is the church of God, the ground and pillar of truth, which where he's passing the headquarters church man. On this trip, when I got turned around in Birmingham, God spoke to me concerning Brother T.L. Larry and told me it was the hour and the time that God would be with him at this hour. And so then, come on back, I brought the head for the child who's been contributing. He's been contributing all of his life. He's been contributing. And yet he said in his heart he never connected in there with him. And so then, also he's working with the tent with Brother T.L. Larry. So then, I came back with a hand and I stood up and I spoke to somebody. And I told you, I said, Charlie is on the other side of jail. Is that right? I said, he's on the other side of Highway 78. And Sister Eileen, she's pretty presented. And she'd been knowing something like that. It's been about to turn all to pieces. And so then she couldn't rest because she couldn't get over Joel. That's why she felt about it. But Brother Charlie came up there and he stopped over on the other side. Brother Jerry Lambert, come over on this side. Because it had to be that way. And there's been a communication between Brother Charlie and Brother Lambert's son-in-law continued. And one has been on this side, which is Robin, and one has been on this side, which is Keith. That's right. And I can't say more about it, but you can think out what you said or ask God to show you what I'm saying. But at any rate, something's been taking place. Something's been taking place. Now, there was a tie in between, which is the little baby. But something was taking place. I came back to the hand, and the other night we had that meeting. Something special was taking place. And I had given Brother Charlie the hand. We prayed for Brother Charlie. I felt his faith brought to God. Charlie came over the next morning, and he said, "Brother Pike, I've got to tell you something." He said, "I had an experience this morning. I've never had one like it in my life." He said, "At 6 o'clock this morning, something came into my room, and I began to tingle all over, and I knew that Christ had stepped into my room, so I was crying, all broken up, and I didn't want to wake Alina." Said, "So I slipped up out of the bed, I eased into the living room, and the Holy Ghost and the power of Christ were still flooding the room." And said, "Something spoke to me, and said, I am going to take thee over Jordan." And he said, the Holy Ghost knew, said he didn't know where he was going to die, what was going to happen. But I spoke about the hand. And I spoke about it going back. And that this hour of the church was to come over Jordan, which symbolized the rapture, which means that their spirit, their faith on the inside, was to at last break over the ritualistic practices of formality and intellectual perspectives of religion and go on in the mind of Christ, which is the real kingdom of God. And so then about the same time when we come back, Larry and Nita went over to the Church of God and saw the film on the rapture. Saw the film on the rapture. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but check the word link. Go back to Calvary and check the word link. And you'll find it has to do with that 40 days of the wilderness and the church coming out where Charlie was asked to come over Jordan. To come over Jordan, which means that there will be a move of God in the church from here on out. Through the denominational ranks of the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, and the Pentecostals around the world. You'll see Africa, you'll see Mexico, you'll see all of them begin to rise again. And they'll come forth for the last great move of God. For God said, "I will live there." Hallelujah. There's a new thing. Brother Gonzalez is down in the right now. Brother Richard, come down. I spoke of him coming down from up yonder and what he had to do with that. This morning he got my car back up there. And I got his car down here. What a beautiful pattern he's following. And he's predestined in the type symbols to come out with power and to come out with riches. He's predestined to do that, to come out. God is doing something special. And I spoke about in symbolic sense of how he would come out of prison when we got back, he would have his freedom. I got back, and here he was, just like he'd been resurrected from the dead. Here he was over here. And the people in Washington howled and hollered, or rather they were Fort Knox, and they said, "Boy, what are you doing?" Said, "You're bringing smoke down on us from Washington." Said, "We've got to answer to those people. Through that death, burial, resurrection, going through hell, said, you're bringing smoke down on us. And the authorities and powers and dignitaries of this world. The little stone that was insignificant, the little rejected stone that was thrown in prison, to bow the name of a heavenly Father, came out of that prison, and today he is risen." And that Holy Ghost is walking among us. He said, "I will be in the midst of you. I will be in the midst of you. If you will have body, soul, and spirit to agree together in my name, I will be in the midst of you. I will work in your behalf." And so then, Ricky, the Lord said, "Go out here." I walked out here to this little bar. He said, "Ricky, we'll meet you up there." Ricky wasn't nowhere around. I walked out to the little bar. And when I got out there, all of a sudden, here comes George Jr. He walked right up to where I was out there. Now, the old part of Ricky is dead. That Ricky part is referred to as rat. I've been able to tell you about a rat that was killed in the sale there. The old Ricky part is gone, the rat. The rat part is gone. That's what you need to do. You need to get rid of the rat part of you. That's what you need to do. Get rid of the old beast part, the old rat part. That's right. The old parasite part. That keeps trying to take the glory of God and magnify Christ. Get rid of the old carnal. But anyway, a symbolic sense of my son coming up signified as the letters went to Washington. The congressman wrote and said, "Mr. Pike, it is not practical for me to answer the many letters that has come here in the behalf of your son. For the Bible said that the prayers of the saints in Christ's behalf were followed up in heaven. It's not practical to answer, but God can answer every one of them, and will answer every one of them with a personal praise." Some men arise with power, recognition of the president, recognition of the senators, recognition of the governors. Rising with power to exalt the name to be raised and set at the right hand of power, to bear significance, to signify the loosing of the prisoners, them that are bound to restore the joy of the church. Whereas we can sit here and sing their song, God picking up the pieces and putting them back together. Had to do with Brother Frank Moretta. We walked out there in this fall down here with the $3,300 and the white garments and everything. They decided they were not here with this trade that he had out here now, with the kind of color on it, that after this they're going to pattern a man to that color. It had to do with the two parts of that trailer, like the rent veil and the body of the spirit of the Jew and the Gentile coming back together in the end time, for to take it down here where he's got a double portion of it. And the Bible says there was a place prepared in the wilderness for the Lord for a certain time. For time's time and a half of time, she fled away into the wilderness. My daughter followed a symbol being up under a snail's foot, coming out of Tennessee, out of Memphis, where he said, "Out of Egypt I call my son." And so then, being up there in that place down in the valley light, the time had everything that they could want up there, all they'd known is stop. But now all of a sudden God's changing things, bringing them back to the foundation of their first conviction and back to their first love, and to take them away into the wilderness for time's time and half time. And I spoke of that long before it happened down here, that very spot, and what would happen and what had to do with it, though I didn't understand particularly. So then coming together, both feelings coming together, the front and the back, coming together as one whole. A split house, and Christ, he living in that kind of condition. But when the spirit and the body unites back together, Peter said, "As long as I'm in this house, I will scare you mine. If I put it off, I got another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands." God in the church. Ricky, I said, transferring the goal from Fort Knox down to here, come over. And I told him, I said, he's predestined to come out in the typical sense with power and with riches. And he came and he said, "Brother," he said, "Daddy," he said, "did you know that if they grant me a conscientious objector's discharge, and if I don't sign the waivers, that they've got to give me $39,000. And I thought about the straw Now, what did Christ do in the fast of the wilderness? What did Israel do when they come out of Egypt? See, in other words, every bit of it was following the perfect pattern. And so, as he came down here, he stood right here at this vault in the typical sense of the resurrection. And he said, if I get the money back, the greater part of it I intend to give to the church, which proved what I said in the transferring from Fort Knox down here. Not only that, but at this hour, I spoke of about April, how that something would begin to take place, how that something would begin to transpire. Williams tell me about here, he keeps saying his son the third. But anyway, it's about the same time that this new car, I spoke about an automobile, and I said, it looks to me like that they could make an automobile that would generate its own electricity. I said, I'm sure why they can't do it. Start it, let it generate its own power. And no way with this other form of energy that is converted. And Ricky said, Danny, you want to take something? He said, up at Fort Knox, and I saw this. He said, they pulled up in a car, said it was guarded by tanks, and said, at Fort Knox is the testing ground. Said that Nixon, remember now, about the same time that we wrote the letter, and in the letter, in the address to the nation, I heard Nixon refer back to exactly what I told him in the letter, and then spoke about God. The little stone started, was hewed out of the mountain, rolled down through battle, turned down the king of the world, and the knowledge of God, which was a little stone, grew till it smote all the earth and took over everything in the earth. Is that right? It came, but it was not taken out with intellectual hands. It was not an intellectual seminary. It came, but it was not put out with hands. How do we know that this very time, I spoke of Corpus Christi, I spoke of that area of how it had to do with a sergeant of mine, a supply sergeant, way back younger, a long time ago when I was in the Air Force. I spoke of how the Corpus Christi here had to do with it. When you say Christ is Corpus Christi. I spoke about a little jasper stone. You know what I'm speaking of. The little jasper stone where he himself being a symbol of the man child, being up there caught up right now. And this little stone that he brought to him that had to do with Corpus Christi. That he gave to me. Right at this time, the law has closed in on a man for the name of Rudolph. Like I say, the little stone coming out, speaking of Tilly. And then the Rudolph rolled down through the mountain, or down, tearing down the king of the world, Christ, Christmas, the head, corpse coming up. And you say, how did he get there? Because Rudolph says the law. What took him to Calvary? It was the law. Where is that? Down there near the Jordan symbol, which is the crossing over here from the United States into Mexico, which is the Del Rio River that Zebulun Pike discovered years ago. Right there at the cross where the stone has to do with it. Right there, the corpse of Christ. Right there at that particular thing, at this particular time, the law has attacked him. Rudolph, and he's pleaded with the membership of the Trinitarian body, you might say. He said to the ministers to come in and work with him. Wasn't that what Christ did? From Calvary, he pleaded with the membership from Calvary day. He said, this is the head, and I plead with the membership to come to the head, because this is the little stone that the bill was rejected. The same has become the head of the body. Now, Corpus Christi, there the law, there they've attacked you. There the membership is to come together in the typical sense of drawing things together. At this time, there is a revival breaking out in old Mexico. We went down there for the leading of the Lord. Got down there in Balcony, and when I got up to preach, the anointing of the Lord come down, those Satan hindered so bad. Yet he come down, and when the Spirit of God came down, we preached one night in the presence. The next night that we preached was the door open in heaven. And Brother Romero got carried away with that about the door open in heaven. And he got up and he copied it afterwards. But I noticed that in Balcony, never have I seen that before when I was there. But Pedro, which means Peter, was there at Balcony at this time. The open door, the keys to the kingdom. John said a door open in heaven, speaking of Pentecost where Peter had the keys. There the Jews, the body, the Jews, the Spanish people, back there, Pedro, into three parts, and three families came back here. Three families went to New Mexico, and three families stayed in Old Mexico. And the three that went in New Mexico split up into one, two, three, to join back together here. Everything was a perfect symbol of what God was doing. Brother Jerry Lambert, Brother Pedros, and Brother Till with a pipe, be sure to come out to my place before he leaves. I didn't get to go out there, but Brother Jerry Lambert, before he left, he went out to Pedros. Brother Gonzalez is still down there. At the time of the Corpus Christi thing, that's happening. I looked, and when I looked, there was two shadows that were behind Brother Pedro. There was a light shadow here and a light shadow here, and the way that the lights were shining, there was a trinity set up of the lights. And the way the three lights were shining, that trinity set up of the lights cut in half, put part of them over here and part of them over here, and then caused the two shadows to cross each other in the middle. And it looked like a red veil. And while as yet he stood there, he had the shadow in the middle, and the Holy Ghost fell on him, going like this, just like a bird flying, shouting hallelujah, and the tears coming down his cheeks. And while he was doing it, the Lord called my attention to the rim veil part back on the wall, and so help me God, to look like an angel, just exactly like Christ, with his long sleeves hanging down, going up, coming out of the rim veil. Pedro, Peter, the door opened in heaven, and a great revival taking place in the vision that brother here saw concerning Corpus Christi soul. There is something that's taking place. God is doing a new thing. God is moving in the earth. There is something that's taking place. There are so many multiplied things that come to my mind that I'd like to share with you. But I know that I've helped you a long time, and I'm going to try to close. But I want you to know the door is open. There is a door open. And God is doing a new thing. There is a new thing going on in the earth. And the stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. God is doing something. When Rich came out of this vault right here, he walked right up here. He put a pair of shoes on my feet. He said, Dad, this is the shoes that I got the day that I got out of prison. He put those shoes on my feet up there, and he said, these are what you call airborne boots. Airborne, like spirit bone. I'm glad I'm airborne. He said he needed them in the air. He put the boots on, and then when he did, I purposed in my heart that it would be given to Brother Gonzalez, which goes back to the body and the resurrection. Down in it. Also, there was another pair of boots he gave me that I felt to give to Brother Beachy. And he fit him like a glove, which also had to do with the body of the airborne part. So God, in all of these little foolish, insignificant things that seem to be nothing, in his glory, in his majesty, in his greatness, is revealing himself. And you who are supposed to be wise, you who are supposed to be intelligent, have become fools in the sight of God because you can't receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. But God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, you mean because I got an education? No, I don't mean because you got an education. Because a lot of you ain't got one. Some of you that ain't got an education has got more resentment, more stubbornness, more rebellion, more contrariness, more reasoning, more, and you're choked off of yourself more than some of you that's got great education. Now, so you're full of reason, full of debate, full of deceit, full of all these things. And I'm not speaking to the lambs, and I'm not speaking to the sheep. I'm speaking to those that are contrary to God. Contrary to God. The Passover plot. He is risen. The Passover plot. And then he is risen. The Holy Ghost is alive. He's alive. God will step off the mercy seat. You're going to come back to Jesus. And when he does, that means the Holy Ghost of dispensation is going to be over. It's going to be over. First, Rachel, then Leah. Then Leah, Rachel, and then Leah. You follow me? Will you stand? I love you, and I appreciate you. I thank the Lord for you. And I want you to pray, folks, by revelation. I know some of you don't believe in the revelation. You don't believe in the mind of God, but you know for a fact that even the horse down here
in the pen. I called step by step. I told you to watch him. What happened to him would happen to Richard.
It happened to him exactly, didn't it? Right down to T. It happened just that way. Even the night that I come here to find Ricky with his freedom. Even the very night that I come here, I looked, and it's the start of the house. There was a horse out in the yard. He got out of his bed. Now, Joseph rose to the right hand of power. He come up, and he had things under control. Major Eves, you hear what he said here? Major Eves said, if it was all possible, I would go over the military laws and put you in my right hand in here. Really? But there's a great thing taking place. If God is doing that for my son, think what he is doing for you. For all that Ricky is doing is a symbol of the sons of God and of the church. It's just a symbol of what heavenly is happening unto you. And the Lord is bringing you out of this old bodily prison of the carnal mind. Setting you at his right hand. And something is taking place. God is getting ready to change your vile body into his own likeness. Something is happening. Something great is happening. Even Brother John Lee being here today, he represents a certain thing. Brother John represents also that coming out of the wilderness. And he's been over there, I understand, over in the areas of Mississippi. He might even come from there over here. But he's been over into that area over there. And something has happened. Whereas me and Brother Ball, we had communication. God let a certain thing happen to bring something to pass. I had a vision of last night. And something beautiful is taking place. What we need to do is to believe God. I also saw another person in a vision. And this person had been contrary to God, not the will of the Lord. And I saw them as though they just went broke, lost what they had. I looked at all of you, all around you, black people all around. By revelation, in what I understand, I can also see that the same individual, unless there is some way of God doing it, which he can do it, I don't know how, but unless there is, this individual we spoke of will commit suicide. There's no doubt about it, because even the revelational pattern shows what will happen to it. And I can't speak freely of it now. But let's just pray that by some means God will keep a soul out of hell. And that God will undertake and keep that individual that I saw committing suicide, that I keep them from committing suicide. Let's pray. In the vision that I had where everybody had gone the way that I told, except one man. And that individual, death struck his family because the vision said he had not gone the way that I told him to go. I'll show him to go. Let's pray that that won't happen. I've been praying that that wouldn't happen before God. I've been asking the Lord that to keep that from happening. But let's pray that those things will happen. Vision after vision is breaking. Thing after thing is coming forth. And this year is a great time. And I'm going to try to say this in closing. Ricky said in the testing of this car that is to come out around April, about that time. We spoke of the man-child thing coming, the headstone. We spoke of God doing a new thing. How many of you ever heard of the big three? Chrysler, Ford, and Cadillac Savoy. The big three, they monopolize off of the world of mechanics in the fields of automotive industry. And their ingenuities. And nobody could get in there. They'd freeze them out. Even the mafia, if they had to go that far, would stop them. And they've held the field. But see, the big three is a trinity. It's a trinity. It's a trinity. You know what it's done? It's killed the little man. It's divided him up. It's killed the little man. Because with an automobile, it's a necessity. You've got to have money to run the thing. They charge you 3 or 4 prices for it. And then it falls apart when you get it. And it's just been a monopoly. And I wondered why that they couldn't come up with something that you didn't have to always go back and have a refill. God's got a way to have something you don't always have to go back and get a refill. And so then around April, Ricky said that this car was to come on the market They made the statement, said this is not a maybe, that it definitely will, around that time, be ready for the public. Now, he said he saw this car, they tried it out and run into a tank. He said that car was moving, he would say, at about 25 miles an hour, 25 or 30 miles an hour, and the tank at about 5 miles an hour, and they come hit on him like that. And he said that it had an absorbing power in the front, that when it hit it, it adjusted itself according to the impact, and said it didn't even move the man. It was strapped down in the seats. And said it just bent the front a little bit, and they said that they could rivet it where it wouldn't even bend the front. He said, and then he saw him take it and run it up on a ramp. Said, Daddy, I actually saw him do this. And said, the car just flipped over like that, rolled over. He said, still the car come out. All right. And he said that the test, Nixon said if they could prove it, it would be put on the market, and said it went with flying colors. Think about that. Now, a little stone, something that would hit the big three, and they said, four, or some of them told him, said, we'll reproduce these for you. But he said, no. He said, there's no need of me sharing the cake with you. This is mine. He said, you've had your day. This is my day. And said, he got stockholders and set up a plant over there somewhere in Michigan. And this car, hitting the big three, doing away with the Trinity, rolling it all up into one headship, the car that doesn't need a refilling, the perfect car. Bring it out about the time that we said the book would be ready, about April, along that time. All coming to a junction just about that time, an energy of all and different things, whereas there's a crisis, and that Trinity energy is going out. Now comes a conversion to an energy that won't give way, because the very heavens is made out of electrical spark. And so we have this great energetic thing, which has to do with light, which has to do with the atoms, which has to do with Christ and the man-child. Just like the man-child, he said, I won't share the cake with anybody who will come to me. Ruling of the Roman Empire. A lot to be said. The Trinitarian veil is over. The old wine is gone. It's faded away. It headed up in Brother Brown as a type of Jesus. That body may lay down and take the Trinity veil to rest. That inner Christ, which was Jesus, that inner Brother Brown as the Holy Ghost, Jesus, might come up in a move of God with that second son, Joseph, in the temple sense of that other life of Pentecost, and not Billy Paul, the son of the Barnes woman, which is the Baptist woman, which goes back to the Trinitarian veil, but not a John the Baptist thing, a forerunner, but a Christ that would come up, step out of the veil, like I saw that about Pedro down the other, and with that, it would move on. It would move on. Coming out of the veil, the Jesus named man child, coming out of the Trinitarian womb, and out of the wilderness, the dark places, the dark areas, to rule the world as sons of God, to restore, to bring back the millennium and the glory and the government of God, that he might restore all things and glorify afterwards, to turn it into a celestial world that will never have spot or blemish anymore. Can we sing on the course together, they'll come from the east and the west? Let's sing together, will you? Thank you.
Spirit of God is here in my ability.
This is an Elijah age. You say, well, Brother Graham is gone, but Graham is Elijah. No more Elijah. Bless the Lord. See, Brother Graham just represented the membership, is what it was. Typical of a headship. Elisha was Elijah in a double portion. Still, the Elijah age. Only the Jew and the Spirit coming together. The complete earth coming together. Why? Why did the Scripture say that before the Lord come, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, that he might turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers back to the children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Why did he say that? Because Moses and Elijah is to come before the Jews, which are considered the 34 in this sense, the children, that it might turn your hearts back to the apostolic fathers of the Jesus name teaching that was set up at Pentecost. Those apostolic fathers that will sit on 12 thrones to rule those children to the millennium. You're that body or that head that goes by that governmental membership. Hear that message, that deliverer that's to come out of Zion, the church. But why say, send Elijah? Why was it that the Lord said when John the Baptist came? He looked and he said, behold, they said, but you said before the coming of the Lord that I send you Elijah the prophet. And now here you come to me, and you say that you're God, but we don't believe you're God. So then they died. And they were crucified as a typical thing with the headship. See, but others said, we believe it's God. We believe it's God. It's not you, it's me. But it's the heavenly Father from within a baby. We believe it's God. And so then he said, to the Gentiles I go, to take a people, because they looked beyond the carpenter's son. And they saw something, the little woman beyond the veil. The temple of God, they will report that God is in you the truth, the tabernacle of the Lord that's in the earth. And why do you say, behold, Elijah must first come? Why do you say that? Why? He said, Elijah has already come. I say to you that Elijah has already come. And you didn't know it. Somebody said, but Brother Brown was Elijah. We do know it. That's good. That's good. That's good. Now, but he said, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah. Before the notable day of the Lord come, it shall burn as an oven. Why Elijah? Because John the Baptist was a forerunner of the coming of the Lord. He was a forerunner to tell you the end of the law of the prophets, the end of the veil. He was a forerunner to tell you that he is risen. He was a forerunner. God was doing something. That's why we refer to Brother John Lane in special occasions as John the Baptist. A forerunner. Something taking place. Something happening. Why was Elijah coming in the last days? Because if John was the forerunner of Christ, then if Christ was returning, then John the Baptist, the forerunner, had to come back. So John the Baptist, the forerunner, did he come back? If he was to come back, that Jesus was to come, if it was to be a body and spirit thing, if it was to be a twofold meeting to Malachi, if it was to be a twofold meeting to Elijah and Elisha to Moses and to Joshua, if it would be a twofold meeting in those things for the spiritual part of the Gentiles, the Holy Ghost of the Jesus and to the Jew, then it had to be that behold, I send you the second time, John the Baptist, Elias, the prophet. I send you one time in the Old Testament. I send you one time in the New Testament. I send you one time in the book of Revelation. I send you to the Jews. I send you to the Gentiles. I send you to the church. Can we sing it again? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the east and the west. From the landings of the stars, with peace, with glory, to God.
that the Lord has taken the mind of Christ, cut it like a grape bowl, thrown out through the earth. Like Ricky said, he's picking up the pieces. You are a piece of the mind of God, and you are a piece of the mind of God. You ever heard somebody say, I'll give you a piece of my mind? Well, God has given you a piece of his mind, a piece of his mind. We're giving it together. I'm often saying, when you start putting the puzzle together, it's hard to begin with to find two or three pieces of a match. But if you just keep on, after a while, you'll see eye to eye. And you'll walk hand in hand. And you won't break rank. And you'll find out that your piece fits the other piece. And they'll all come together. Then it's far enough along that you can begin to tell the evidence. The Lord, in the days gone by, suffered all men to walk in their own way. Is that right? The Bible said he let all men walk in their own way, do their own thing. It went through a cycle. And where are we today? Back in the day when men did their own thing. Is that right? But what God has done through the time, through the ages, what God has done, he has from the creation of the world let it go out in part. You being sovereign to work out your own salvation. You being sovereign to work out your own salvation. Membership to membership to membership to the membership. All of us by one Spirit baptized into the church membership. The washing of the water of regeneration. Baptism through the name of the Holy Ghost coming in the name. Because we are waters. Out of that waters comes the great Christ, just like out of the troubled waters comes Antichrist. But you know the revelation. He, the Spirit, coming out. It has to go to a headship. It's got to go to a headship. Whether we believe it, whether we want to accept it, it has to go. It's an individual thing. Every man can have his own thing and what he will do. Because God only requires what he knows. But when the light gets bright, he goes, as we said the other day, in an exposition, he goes like this. First it's one individual, and then two or three get together, and they form a little headship for that, two or three, body, soul, and spirit. And then after that, it becomes a little co-op, and they put a president over it. And then after that, it moves to a greater headship, and you begin to have chain stores. And each little group become a bigger group. And then it went to a greater headship. The Lord narrowing down. And then it went to Roy Rogers, the King of the Cowboys. And then it went to Dale Evans, the Queen of the Cowgirls. And it went to Elvis Presley, the King of Rock and Roll. And it headed up to Brother Brown, the King of Religion. Nobody could dispute that he was a headship of the move of God. That was the end, the move of the veil of God to bring forth the Christ. Whereas Christ himself would come. Now, I say this. It has moved in a group headship in our day. It has moved that far. But it has to go beyond that. It has to go over the head of the congressman. It has to go over the head of the statesman. It has to go back to the old ways in the world. If the old world is kingship over there, then this over here, which has to do with the Trinitarian dissecting, has to be swallowed up. But the woman represents the Trinity, and the husband is divided from her over here one way, and the child is divided from her over here another way, and here she is another way. But the man is the woman and the child all in one, because from Adam come forth all of it. So then when it leaves the Trinitarian part, to go back over there, it won't be a senator, a governor, a statesman, a president, but it'll be a king. It'll be a headship, going back to the Jewish perspective of it. It's moving up to come into one headship. Now all the churches will consolidate in a confederation to come under one thing, which is the Papacy of Rome. One headship, because it has to come under one man. There's no way to get around it. Everything must come under one man, because the tides must run and eliminate till it gets to the chief shepherd. We're all shepherds, but the Bible said, though now I've got sheep that is of another fold, yet the Bible said in that day, I shall bring these, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd, for when he, the chief shepherd, shall appear. When he, the chief shepherd, shall appear. Brother Brown was a symbol of that chief shepherd in the counterpart of it. Christ himself might break forth from a babe, but when he, the chief shepherd, shall appear, and it has to go under one man, and that one man in the counterpart will be Antichrist. It will head up into an Antichrist, and the head of Antichrist will become a king. All of it will go under the power of Antichrist in the natural. But if the same, the Lord Jesus shall break forth these clouds of witnesses, shall suddenly appear in his temple to be glorified within his saints, that they might rise up and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever, that that Holy Ghost might go back, pick up that body at the end of the days of the Gentiles, where the 30-minute silence is, step down off the throne, body and spirit, Elisha, the double portion, turn back to the Jews, to the resurrection of the dead, which is the redemption of the body, to bring forth that prize which shall sit on the throne of David, to reign until all things is subdued under his government as one head, under him as one king, and then with that it'll be completely changed over into a glorified thing. God will glorify it once it's perfected through the millennium and restored. All the dead animals of skull will be brought back. All of those that are extinct, everything that God created, I will restore, saith the Lord. The millennium, the great things of restoring and restoration, everything, once it's restored, the order, the government, everything, then he'll glorify it and take it into the glorified state and preserve it eternally. Now, to burn out the chaff is gold, to make it a beautiful thing, a church, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. But remember one thing, the church world will not see when good comes. The wicked shall not see when good comes. They're going to be so intellectual, so sure that they've got it figured out, till they're going to outsmart themselves. And like the vision I saw the other night, the boy said, this man, what you're doing, in essence, it was revealed to me that way, and says, this is the way it played for. Now, something is happening. Christ, the Holy Ghost, has come to an inner man to bring a headship to a ghost. And Jesus, when it is finished, when the Holy Ghost, along with his membership, will return back into his body that's considered dead, sitting at the right hand of the Father, in his absence. At the same time, them ghosts that went away with him, that are here with him in God, whom the heavens have received, them ghosts will also return into these dead bodies. And on in Revelation 19, on the white horses, they shall come back to signify by the resurrection of the dead and by the Jews, which is the temporal sense of the body, that it might go into the millennium, that those 12 disciples, which is that candidate or God, might be there in the beginning of the restoration. Something is taking place. Let's sing the little song, I Love Him. Can we sing it together? And the renovation, that's the way it's supposed to be. Let's say it one more time.
Lord, it's written in the scriptures that
they that sit in the regions of the shadows of death, behold unto them great light is spring up. And Father, we believe that thou art the day spring from on high. God, thou art the light of the people. And we ask in the name of Jesus, knowing that thou art the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the great, the bright morning star, that you would spring forth, that you might hold us, and the day star might spring forth within this dark night of tribulation in this old carnal wilderness. May that day star of revelation, may you come forth as a bright knowledge, Father, to turn these stones into a heavenly city, Father, where the land can be the light thereof. Have your way in our heart, knowing the day that Satan walked in the midst of the stoneless fire. Father, we ask you to move him from out of our midst. And dear God, bring them together with unity, with a bond of charity and the moral of love. Father, that they might be a holy temple, a priesthood. God, through the revelation of Paul, the wise master builder. God, a temple that might dwell in the earth, that the radiation of that light of the Lamb, that revelation of Christ, might show to the windows of our heart, and the world might walk in the light of that glory. Help us to bow and to seek the Lord, but know that you have love. I ask that the membership of that body.